our event, but it was just an interesting moment again of there was actually often activity at that lighthouse, even when it wasn't part of our specific visiting days. Awesome. And then, as I mentioned, those three opportunities were the same opportunities we had last year, although they all expanded this year. In addition, this year we had three more opportunities. You can see on the left here on the screen is a solar powered boat that was built at the Hudson River Maritime Museum in Kingston. Pretty interesting traditional launch that's completely solar powered. There is not a fuel tank on board. There's no emissions at all. It's a totally silent ride. And so that was very neat to get to bring it to the waterfront. And you can see a bunch of people out there, enjoying the Solaris. And then on the bottom right, we've got our sightseeing boat, Hudson sightseeing boat, the Spirit of Hudson, which people are probably familiar with. And we actually partnered with them this season, which was new. And so each Waterfront Wednesday, there was a sightseeing trip that happened on the Spirit. And over the course of those trips, 120 people got out on the water on those sightseeing trips. So that was a big part of it. And then pictured top right here, this is actually, it may not seem like a lot is going on in this picture until you look carefully at it, but this is a sailboat, and these are people on wheelchairs. And so there was an amazing boat called the Impossible Dream that actually came to Hudson. And now, unfortunately, the Waterfront Wednesday event got rained out, so they did not participate in that Waterfront Wednesday. But you might be wondering how there are people out on the boat. And so interestingly, and this is sort of something about Waterfront Wednesdays in general, is when we bring a vessel to town, it often stays for longer than just the Wednesday. And so these pictures are actually from the Tuesday before. And there was a group from Independent Living Hudson Valley, and then another group from Sunnyview Rehab Hospital that got to go out on the Impossible Dream. And that's, I'm so excited because not only is it a different way of getting out of the water, but it's talk about access. And for people who are physically impaired, to be able to go out on a sailboat was a really, really unique experience. So that was a great foundational moment. Obviously that's a partnership we're building, and we hope that the next time they come back next year, it won't get rained out. That's our hope. Also new this season, as I mentioned, was this kind of interesting hybrid of on the dock activity, which was primarily fishing and environmental education. I mentioned the numbers already, but yeah, 112 kids got to hang out with Gunga here and fish off of the docks. I think every single kid caught at least a fish. It was really pretty amazing. You can see that's what's happening right here in the picture. And then for everyone in the park, so for all the people who attended the events, they actually got to have a little bit of a moment of understanding what kind of life is in the water. We actually would place an eel trap in the Hudson River. And so you can see here is Nick Zakos, who was the onshore table sport for every single Waterfront Wednesday. And he is pointing out some American eels that we caught in the eel traps. Of course, all the eels are just brought into the tank and then released back into Hudson. None of them are killed or anything like that. But it's really fun. And you can see, especially as it got darker, it was kind of amazing with our sort of glowing fish tank in the park. Quick shout out just to all the different partners. I just wanted to put everyone on a slide just to show. I already mentioned all these partners. The partner I didn't mention so far is the Powerboat Association. And they really, they have always offered us picnic tables for these events. They also offered us overflow dockage for vessels, which was part of what made it possible for us to bring so many boats to Hudson this year. And then just a final note from me is, we're excited to bring even more boats next year. These are three boats that we've been actively talking with. One is, people may recognize Eleanor. This is a historic boat that was actually restored right here in Hudson and currently sails out of Catskill. They would have come to Waterfront Wednesday this year, except there was a little bit of problem with the mast, so they were not able to make it, but that's all been repaired. And so next season, we sure hope to host them. Down at the bottom here is a tour boat from Peekskill. Who we've been talking with them. They actually have been, they now have three boats and they want to start bringing some up to Hudson for some of our events, which is really exciting. And then on the top right here, this is the John J. Harvey, which is a fireboat, which I've been working to try to get to come up to Hudson. And actually we would have had them for the Black Arts and Cultural Festival this season, except for COVID struck some of their crew in a very unfortunate way. Everyone was okay, but they decided to postpone the trip. But these are three vessels that I really hope to contribute to Waterfront Wednesdays moving forward. Awesome. And so with that, I think I'm going to invite Elena to take over. And Elena, just go ahead and cue me if I need to hit next slide, please.
Okay, good. Good, good. Thanks, Sam. So this is the exciting part for me, because we talk about community and we really learned a lot from last year. And now, you know, with our team, we reached out to as many people as possible. And I think many people, well, hopefully all of you on, you know, today attended one or more events. And our schedule was very consistent with drumming at 5:30 and a dance company at 7 and then a band at 6. And so what I wanted to capture in these pictures, the first one on the left, you can see that we had a variety of people coming out to do many things. We also had some vendors. There's at least one or two youth in the background having their life jackets on already, because you can see the boat in, you know, in the distance. And I think that's the day of, I think that's the day of the Clearwater. It may be the boat that Sam was just, you know, speaking of, but we had a lot of people all the time. The right top picture is a picture of one of the performances by Sandra Lauren, our local choreographer. And I wanted to highlight this picture, not only because we have dance every week, but because Sandra is a perfect example of artists who were on the program and then brought their own patrons that would come in to follow, you know, as part of the program, and also patrons that were coming to see their events, which means that they brought people to our riverfront and some of those people for the first time. And we know from the commentary that they either returned or were looking forward to come again, you know, in the future. And of course, on the bottom picture, we have our Ujima Community Collective, our spring and summer drum group and instructions from Kumba Dance and Drum. So that was happening every week. And in the background, of course, was the Spark Tent, which was new for us this year. And that, again, really highlighted different agencies and people reaching out to us. But what we liked about the Spark Tent was they were giving away free samples of healthy, you know, food each week. And it was consistent. Next. So we welcomed important concerns, such as health and the environment. You know, these are the things that was on most of our minds throughout this whole pandemic, as you know. What's really important to us is that we were welcoming and saying yes to people who wanted to come to be a part of it. So you can see the COVID vaccines for walk-ins were at the waterfront more than once. We also had, you know, our agencies such as Kite's Nest, who were giving out and serving healthy, enriched smoothies and things like that. And of course, we have the environment. Next. So along with the health and the environment, we highlighted community members and their successes, as well as rights of our citizens. So on the left of the screen, we had a book signing for John McNathan, who was raised here in Hudson, went through the Hudson City School District, and had put out his first book, and he called to see if he could come to the waterfront. So we did set that up and brought him and some of his friends. They also took time to do some video filming for his projects around the waterfront and also in a restaurant local to Hudson as well. And as you can see in the top right-hand corner, we were looking at our citizen concerns and we welcomed voter registration tables as well. And then the Columbia Land Conservancy, I really chose to highlight this agency, not only because of Jen, again, homegrown, went to school in Hudson, a wonderful young lady, but because of all the work that they're doing in the communities and highlighting youth to take advantage and families of all their locations around the county. And she also brought some things to do at the waterfront so that the participants can look at what was in the river. So it was also an interactive process of her being there. Next. Well, thank you. So this slide really represents our strength in programming and recognizing our diverse community. We invited new partners. Like I said, they brought their patrons and their families, and it led way to things that we didn't expect. So one of our unexpected things we didn't plan for, but we were able to reach out to Hudson Hall, who will be celebrating the 25th anniversary of Winter Walk. So on this night, you can see in the left-hand corner, there was lots of Christmas in July, I recall it, you know, Christmas at the waterfront. There was a walk in Santa with the saxophones. We had participants from Perfect 10 who sung on the stage some of the carols, but it was just the whole thing of it was another event that brought community members in. So for this event, we were really inundated with lots of families and people who were on the program. The included in this program was Debbie Hughes Performing Arts Academy, and the students did some excerpts from the Nutcracker. And so it ended up being a really, really wonderful event full of families. It was just great because all of the aspects that Sam talked about were at their fingertips. And we know from our attendance, we saw so many new faces of people coming on a Wednesday to the waterfront to be at this event. The bottom picture really just gives you a look of, you know, from the other side of the park, looking in to see the families and people and how we were gathering. Also, I see a picnic table with the yellow tablecloth. That is the night that the Hudson Rotary invited other Rotarians to come to Waterfront Wednesdays, and they were walking around. So I know that we had folks from Cairo, from Greenville, as well as Hudson visiting on that day. And I chose to put up the menu because we invited Larry Walker from What's Really Good to come back to be our staple food vendor. And by being able to provide that to the community, we knew that people would be coming and looking to have dinner at this event as well. And Larry, again, you know, born and raised in Hudson, we are so proud that we can do that and highlight our local vendors. And I want you to pay attention to the menu and look at the prices. I mean, we're talking about, you know, a full dinner that could be served, and the prices were affordable, and many people appreciated that. And the fact that we were highlighting somebody local, that meant that Larry's constituents and patrons as well were coming because he was going to be there. And it was the second year in a row. So not only were we building on Waterfront Wednesday, we also were helping our local business person to build his business as well. Next, Sam. So from our handwritten signs, and I had to include it because we started with the handwritten signs and some of the workforce helping Adam last year get the signs and figure out what the placements were. You know, we were back at it again with the handwritten signs. And the fact that we were consistent in our schedules, it let our community know what we were offering and when we were going to offer it. So this year, our workforce students, as well as you know, some of the adults that participated, were there for the setup, and right away with drumming, they helped bring the drums in. They helped the instructors bring the drums out. Whenever possible, they were available to help with anything else that was going on. One night, they even helped Adam. We were trying to collect equipment, and they covered the park on both sides, looking and seeing, helping to move picnic tables as needed. But more important, to help our vendors, our local vendors, if they were coming in and needed support with setup, or if they needed help moving their equipment back to the park for the breakdown. That's really important because we want to make sure that we build buy-in from our young community, who are becoming the teenagers, becoming the young adults, and in, this way they're investing in the community from the ground up. So we definitely want to have ownership, because this is all about all of us. And we want our youth to know what's happening in the community, so that if they leave, they stay, and they know how they can be a contributing partner. And the scene on the bottom, well, it was just one of my favorites. Sam mentioned the beautiful sunsets. And as you can see with both of these pictures, they are representing the evening. You know, the sun is setting and the sun was going down, and people knew that there was something. So some people would just be coming in for the band that was going to happen at 8 o'clock, but most people were staying and making it a really good community and family event. And as you can see, you know, there's couples in the bottom pictures really just enjoying the scenery. So I think that we had a couple of rained out nights, but despite that, and despite the grass being drenched, you know, we really did prevail. And folks continue to return for the music and the gorgeous sunsets. And I think that with the team that we have and all of us together, Adam, Sam, and myself, what we know about Hudson, or at least put together from our own experiences, that we are continuing to look at the community and not define it with one answer about community, because Hudson is a diverse city. And we want to make sure that we maintain that and keep Waterfront Wednesdays the best that it could be. So I'm going to turn this over to Adam. Thank you.
Well, thanks for that, Elena. So I'm back again just to talk about our expanded cultural programming this year and our impact on tourism. I'm going to let Sam just kind of tick through the rest of our slides at his leisure. Initially, we chose Wednesdays for our event series after speaking with members of the Hudson business community, especially those in the hospitality sector, to address the dearth of midweek programming here in Hudson. We saw this as a way to impact tourism while at the same time benefiting local residents. And the results were tremendous. This year, we saw a 50% growth in weekly visitors to Waterfront Wednesdays, fetching more than 300 people per week, and once even topping 550 audience members. As Sam mentioned, there were more than 70 participating organizations, including 20 different performance groups. These included local and regional troupes and bands, and also luminaries, such as dancers from the New York City Ballet and internationally recognized circus performers. While we didn't poll every person who came, anecdotally, we know we had visitors from 11 different counties in New York State, and we were written about in Chronogram, Rural Intelligence, the Hudson Community Guidebook, Capital Region, Independent Media, IMBY, Trixie's List, Gossips of Rivertown, ColumbiaCountyTourism.org, ColumbiaCountyCurrent.com, the Register Star, the Times Union, OrangeTourism.org, TravelHudsonValley.com, and HVMag.com. We had roughly 40 vendors over the season. Some were there every week. Some just dropped in once or twice. They included local artists, artisans, and businesses such as Ifiteo Cobbins, Fortuna Ice Cream, What's Real Good Barbecue, The Maker Hotel, as well as many nonprofits like LGBT Cool Kids, Columbia Land Conservancy, and Kites Nest, who were there to provide free resources and activities. We are especially grateful to our partnerships with the Hudson Powerboat Association, who provided plentiful picnic tables, the Columbia County Department of Health, who offered free COVID vaccines, Spark of Hudson, who offered free food and cooking lessons, Hudson Hall, who donated a fireworks display, as well as to the Create Council, who helped pay artist fees to compensate the many performers who graced our stage. As we look forward to 2022, I hope we can count on your continued support. As Sam mentioned earlier, we love how the Tourism Board has contributed ideas to help shape Waterfront Wednesdays, such as the eco-packaging initiative. You helped us get started. We love seeing you from week to week down at the waterfront, and we also appreciate your financial support, without which none of this would be possible. Some ideas we have for 2022 are to realize our thwarted plans to collaborate with the Wick Hotel and provide a free shuttle bus connecting to the Wednesday Farmers Market. We hope to see collaborations with additional vessels and more Indigenous and multicultural programming. Thank you so much for your time. We are prepared now to answer any questions you might have. And if now is not the appropriate moment, we can always be reached through our website, www.waterfrontwednesdays.org. And we look forward to submitting our application for future funding. So with that, thank you very much.
Great job, team. I appreciate that. I do have one quick question and follow-up, and I'd like to open it up to the rest of the board, too. So you made one note about, on average, 300 attendees, and then there was a spike to 500. What was the event for 500, and how are you taking those key learnings into what drew more of a crowd in terms of sprinkling that into your planning for next year specifically?
That's a great question. That particular Wednesday was the collaboration with Hudson Hall. Okay. And it also included a fireworks display. And it's, you know, hard to beat fireworks when it comes to getting motivating people to come down to the waterfront. But it did give us the idea to partner with other organizations like that, because it was sort of like a Hudson Hall takeover of Waterfront Wednesdays. And so Sam had the idea maybe to collaborate with the Hudson Eye in a similar way. But also generally to lean on local and regional organizations for that kind of outreach and engagement.
Awesome, that is very good.
And Ryan, can I just add one tiny note, which is only that the experience I've had doing waterfront programming and on the water programming, I mean, I will say one of the other, I mean, Adam's absolutely right that the Hudson Hall was the biggest event, but the other trend that was sort of, very obvious to me, but is a harder one to figure out, is just weather, right? Oh, yeah. Like when the weather was nice, there were a lot of people there. And when the weather forecast was poor, even if the weather didn't turn out to be that bad. And unfortunately, I think that's just a reality of doing programming at the waterfront. And I think that in some ways is our biggest challenge to attendance is the forecast, or that's how it felt to me this season. And maybe that's partially because I'm just gone. No, I mean, because all of us were dealing with people who, whether it's a vendor who's worried about getting wet or a boat that thinks it's unsafe, you know, the weather forecast was very tough.
No, totally. I mean, that's any outdoor event, right? Not even just Waterfront Wednesdays. I would love to work with you all next year with regard to the attendance tracking too. I know a lot of it's like, you know, eyeballing base level folks that are there and whatnot. I'm a stickler for numbers in a good way. So if we can put down like, you know, what we're measuring, I can work with you all in terms of getting that on board for next year. Because I think a lot of that, especially if we're looking toward the potential model of how we fund next year, I know I've suggested a lot of like public-private partnership. It's the, how do we show those numbers and ROI back to sponsors, right? Because that is what they want to see and whatnot. But overall, I mean, as somebody who attended, taking my tourism board hat off though, I loved it. Thank you for finding a day of the week that wasn't Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. You know, I think we need more things to keep Hudson alive during the week. Board, any feedback or questions from any of you? Chris? I'm sorry, Kate, go ahead.
No, Chris can go first. I'll go after.
I just wanted to say hats off to the Waterfront Wednesdays team. In 2 years, you have created an institution, not only for Hudson, but something that people from throughout Columbia and Greene counties look forward to and even beyond. So thank you for your tireless work and your ideas and all that you've done.
Thanks, Chris. Kate, go ahead.
I was just really going to echo Chris's sentiments. I know, you know, we don't talk that much about how much of your own personal time and effort went into this. And I just, you know, want to say I really appreciate all that you did to bring such a valuable event to our community.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming tonight, too. You are obviously welcome to stay if you would like. There's no reason to take up more of your Monday evening, so I understand if you have to drop. But thank you again very much for coming, and glad everybody's doing well.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much.
Anytime. All right, next on our agenda, the Warren Street seasonal usage update. Gary, I'd like to turn it over to you because I know it's been a bit of a busy day in getting things taken down with the program, correct?
That's correct. Can everyone hear me okay? Hello?
Yep.
I hear you.
Great. Yeah, a little bit of a surprise, but today we took down all of the blocks and planters, and so Warren Street has been cleared. We're wrapping up the program in terms of surveying the participants. What did they like? Was it successful to them? Overall, we're getting the sense that the participants felt it was indeed beneficial to them, particularly the restaurants. I'll be putting together my recommendations. Many of them are already shaped, but I really wanted to get the input from the participants as well, and not be presumptuous, but I would say overall it was a good program. There's lessons to be learned. Other communities are reaching out. When I say other communities, one community reached out to us last week, Nashua, New Hampshire. They want to learn a little bit about our experience. They're thinking of doing it next year. So that just gives you a sense of what other communities are looking to do as well. So the blocks came up without a hitch today. The planters have been moved. I believe the planters are all down at the DPW yard. I had heard through the DPW that I think, Ryan, you had asked that they be moved to Farmers and Son. And I walked by there today. I didn't see them.
Yeah, there was a plan to see if they could use them. I mean, I'm all for trying to figure out how we preserve not only the planters but the plants themselves, since that was such
a great idea.
Cost that we had.
I agree.
So if there is an opportunity, and I welcome anybody's ideas or input on this, if we can find a good winter home to keep these out of the elements, I mean, aside from tarping them down at the DPW lot, we're open to ideas, because you know the warmer we can at least keep the base level of the planters, the more of the chance that the plants themselves survive throughout the winter and can be reused next year in any way, shape, or form that this program returns.
Yeah. So that went well today, and we're moving on. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
The last is, you just have an update. I know that we got working on the remainder of the billing and some of the outstanding elements that are out there. Not looking to call out any particular businesses right now, but just numbers. How many outstanding are we following up with? And do you want to just give an update on the November 15th date?
Yeah. So to date, we have just under $6,000 from fees and donations, $5,925. There are still 13 participants who have not submitted their fees. But at least five of them have contacted me and told me that they'd be getting it in this week. So, you know, but there's no reason to doubt that. And I'm following up with the others as well. So that's where we stand. And yeah, I don't want to identify anybody right now because that's going to become a list. And like I said, there's going to be a fair number of participants coming in with the monies this week.
Good. I'm glad that we put a time cap on that to try to get everything by the 15th, just for everybody's edification on the call. And Gary, correct me if I'm wrong here, but my understanding is that the donations go toward the lost parking revenue. It's a $25 processing fee. And then there was a suggested donation of $200 per spot, hopefully, that each per spot that each business that was participating in the program would be able to provide. Is that correct? Yes, sorry, I didn't hear you there.
Oh, yes, that is correct. That's
okay. Exactly. Okay, good. And it's optional too, so on the donation front. But I'm glad that we're going to get that wrapped up. So for those that are on the council that are here tonight too, I know that we can touch upon that in our next meeting as well. Is there anything else with that program right now that we're missing at all? Kate, is there anything additional that I'm missing in terms of that follow-up? I know that we do have one invoice that I'll get to in a second.
I don't think so.
Okay, great. That brings me to the final invoice. I'm going to share my screen here quickly. So this had come from both Gary and, well, he's not here this evening. Mike Tucker from CEDC recommended that we present this to you all on the board this evening. Let me just get this to a smaller size so it's going to be visible. Bear with me one moment. All right. Please let me know if you're able to see my screen.
It's up.
Good. Thank you. So this is an additional bill for a total of $4,803.86 due to Grace, operated by Michael Conti. And this was for the additional plantings. So if anybody recalls, between May and June, we went from a very, very cool spring to a very, very intense, hot summer feeling very quickly. And a lot of the plants did not make it. So this was the cost of investing in the planters themselves. So I'd like to put this to the board for consideration of moving it to the council for approval. Can I ask for a motion, or sorry, can I ask to bring this up for a vote quickly?
I put a motion in to bring it up for a vote.
Thank you, Sila. And hi. And can I get a second, please?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor that are on the tourism board, sorry, I'm just getting a little feedback here. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye for approval.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, please voice. Excellent. We'll bring this up then to the council for final payment on that one. And I believe that wraps up at least any outstanding invoices that we have related to Warren Street seasonal usage. That brings me to the second Saturday's gallery call. So,
tomorrow.
So I had a very good conversation yesterday with Ellen Darcy Simpson, who's one of the three founders for the second Saturday's program. There are, taking a step back from the highest level, I think what they are trying to attempt is more or less a behavioral shift within how Hudson is. I mean, for as long as I can remember, you know, we have been a town that rolls our streets up at about 4 o'clock almost every day, maybe 5 o'clock if you're lucky. And, you know, much to what Waterfront Wednesday has accomplished in terms of bringing people out on a new day, they are trying to change in terms of a little bit more Saturday night activity. Before we look for core updates on the program in terms of its performance, I'm going to be meeting with them to get a full understanding and remit of what it is that they are trying to do, including meeting with most of the gallerists within Hudson as well. My initial read on this is that what they really need is more of a pulpit in terms of how we, from a city perspective, can package what it is that they are trying to do. They do great on the press front itself. But I think if we can see that members of not only the tourism board, but also the council are standing behind this, and we can actually get more of our local community out. True, while they are what they are trying to do is attract buyers, I think there's something to be said about bringing a mix of everybody back into the fold that's missing from this program. And I'd like to work with them over the next couple of months to see if we can bring that out. So that's where we stand currently on Second Saturdays. Members of the tourism board, if you'd like to join me for any of those meetings coming up, please reach out to me. I'd love to have you with me at those meetings, and I look forward to the support on that. Any questions I can answer briefly on that one?
I'd just like to note that, for the record, that this is the single highest monetary amount that we've paid for any program that was a single program. There were some. If we take a second, if we take the Warren Street seasonal usage program out of the equation, if we look at Waterfront Wednesdays and HBC, those awards were broken into multiple programs. And I just think that the intent was to create a late night atmosphere. I understand that there are some challenges with that. I just wish that the Second Saturday team had been more receptive to partnering with the tourism board and finding ways, because I think we could have helped them. I think that 8 o'clock on a January or February makes sense, but given the number of restaurants that are open past 8 and even past 9 o'clock, and given what happened around the open studios. I mean, I had invited a friend up for open studios who came up from Long Island, and he was just blown away. And we were out and it was past 10 o'clock and the streets were still busy. So I would ask that the Second Saturday team perhaps open up a little bit more and partnering and finding ways, because $16,500, I think Hudson deserves a late night once a month. That is not a small investment. And I just would like to see a little bit more openness and transparency there.
I agree with you on the, look, these are taxpayer dollars, right, Chris? So they are accountable to making sure we get what we paid for or what this board has put up for approval for. That said, maybe it's just time for a reset with them, right? Like, let's not give up on the total program. Let's not try to bash anybody because they haven't been able to perform to date. Maybe they do need a little bit more of support. I'm going to dig into this and see exactly what it is that we can do and what we can salvage. Correct me if I'm wrong, the program technically started in June of this year, right? They started midsummer and it's for a full year program. Is that correct?
Their program started in June. I don't believe we funded the promotion of it until July. In fact, okay. It was the July meeting where we voted for this. Momentum was high in the beginning, and it pains me to see it lose momentum. And so I would say, based on what you just said, I don't want this program to go away. I want desperately for this program to work. And I think that, you know, if they're willing to take the help from outside people who are willing to go in and help build a late night program,
that's exactly
what Hudson needs.
That's exactly it. So again, y'all are welcome to come to the table with me. Let's see what we can do. I think that's what it is, right? I mean, like, businesses, art, and restaurant, those are probably the three core operational services that we have that aren't county or state related in the city. Let's see if we can stand this up and get it running. All right. Awesome. Which brings me over to our Pocket Park program, which the first thing I want just to everybody on the call to hear, I know that there have been some questions in the past, but we have been formally ADA compliant now with our Pocket Park program having a Port-a-John located in the park next to 537 Warren Street. That has been open for all of our park events to date since it got installed at the beginning of October, including it was open for the Halloween parade yesterday, although shockingly unused with the amount of children that were out. Go parents who were well prepared with their kids for that day. Mm-hmm. Chris and Nia, I just want to turn it over to you to talk about any of the additional programming that we have for the remainder of the year.
Nia, do you want to talk?
Oh, you're on mute, Nia.
You're on mute, Nia.
Oops, hi. it's been great. We had near the end of the last one, we had a lot of, well, mostly, I want to say about 80% of our vendors canceled last minute. But so far, it's been going pretty good this summer. For this time we're getting a lot of traffic, and we even have some new interest for next season, which is really great.
Are we planning to utilize it at all as we get closer to the holiday seasons at all, or during Winter Walk, Chris?
So I have extended I work with Tracy Delaney and the city to extend the permits. So we have permits for this coming Saturday, 2 in November. I spoke with Sage Carter and Hudson Hall today. We would have had a market on the same day as Winter Walk, and that's a little bit awkward. Awkward in the sense that very few people are out and about before Winter Walk.
Yeah.
So Sage and I talked about it, and Sage felt that the best way would be to welcome the vendors who participated in the Pocket Park to also participate in Winter Walk, because it's a good opportunity. The deadline for vendors is November 4th, but she's extending it for our vendors.
Okay.
So Nia and I talked earlier today. We're going to reach out to all of the vendors and tell them about this opportunity. And then there is one other date in December, should somebody want to do a holiday themed market. Okay. I know, Celia, I know you had mentioned you had expressed some interest in that. So while I was getting the permits extended, I just went ahead and got all of those dates.
That's great. I mean, good foresight on having that, which is good. So excellent. Any comments from the board on that? Okay. Chris, if you need any assistance in helping in planning with that too, please let me know, you know, what time I've got. I'd be happy to help you get that off. I know it's getting tight now that we're in November and the holidays right around the corner. It means a lot of people are offline or out of pocket. So if you need extra hands, just please call on us. Okay.
That's great. And Nia's going to be the point for November.
Great. Nia, you know where to find me, either dressed as Santa Claus or Spider-Man. Both times me now, so.
I heard the stories.
Oh yeah, Santa Claus showed up in the middle of October to porta potty. It was great.
Awesome.
So,
we all right, have that pictures.
No, we're going to try to keep those offline. So that just brings me finally tonight. I know a couple of people have been wondering about where we stand with the BEA. There have been obviously a lot of comments. If you've attended any of the BEA meetings, we have not received formal communication just yet in terms of what we will be receiving for next year. I'm not a speculative person in that aspect. So until we have finite numbers to work with, I just urge everybody to please bear with us through the process. I mean, it's grueling. We know the city has been trying to make sure that we do have a balanced budget for next year. And when the final numbers are communicated to us, we will make sure that it is formally communicated to the public. Okay. With that, I want to open it up to the board members for any announcements that you may have at all. All right. Open it up to any of the members of the public. Well, quietest meeting on the 1st of November. John, you've got a question, sir. I see you've got your hand raised. Go right ahead.
Yeah, a couple of questions about equipment. The stage for Little Deb's Oasis,
mm-hmm.
Where is that stored?
How
does the group go about putting in a requisition for it?
To utilize it? Yeah. I mean, for me, email me directly. I can find that out. I don't know specifically where it's being housed, mm-hmm. but, Chris, keep me honest here, but I believe because that was part of the program, we can requisition it for other uses throughout the community, correct? Excellent. Correct. John, if shoot me a note directly, and I'd be happy to handle it directly with you.
Sure. A couple other questions. The DePace Family Music Trust truck requisitioned a piano for their project. Is that also stored? We don't know where.
It's been used a couple of times, notably once that I know of at Hudson Hall. I'm not quite sure if it's still at Hudson Hall right now or not, but it is the same process. It's requisitionable through anybody that needs it. I think that is in, I'm going through my email here quickly. That is in a storage unit currently in Catskill.
But I mean, that is city equipment. And if those are available to the community to use, should there not be an easier process for the community to requisition them?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that's something we can put in place very easily and something we definitely want to put in place for next year. I mean, we're still going to have to try to figure out, is it a first come, first serve thing? Is it a... you know, based on the size of the event, what's going to go to the more well-served, larger public good and that kind of a thing. I think that's what we still have to work through first, John, right? Because
it doesn't matter what the public good is, right? Maybe it is just first come, first serve. You just have to create a base rate.
No, that's fair.
Fine. We can email all of that information. Just one more follow-up, and this is for Gary Kernhagen. Gary, I noticed that you were doing... Gary, are you there?
Yep, Gary's still here. Gary, you're on mute, sir.
Yes.
Oh, great. Gary, thank you so much. I think there was a lot of dissatisfaction with the way that Summer Street was handled early on. And after you came in, I think a lot of the businesses were much happier. I know that you are doing some polling of the participants for the Summer Streets program. Are you also going to be doing any polling residents or visitors?
I'd like to, and I'm not sure. I'm still grappling with the best way of doing that.
John, I'll add, if you've got any ideas, I know it's not the appropriate meeting, so to speak, but sort of is tangentially, I think you might recall that part of the funds from the tourism board this past year were set aside to conduct a parking study specifically. Even despite getting coverage in the register, we put a web page up. It's underneath the mayor's page for that parking study. In the 2 weeks that it has been publicly available, I've gotten one piece of feedback so far. So we've got to figure out a better system.
I've been aware that there's a parking study going on.
Oh, I will send it to you. But yeah, it's tough. Like the level of interaction to get feedback from the public is very, very difficult. So that's another thing. You know, we talked about, I don't know if you were here for the last meeting, we talked about moving in, starting in 2022, how are we putting a robust system of metric capturing capabilities around this program in general, right? I mean, I'm a data-driven person, so in the aspect of knowing what works versus what doesn't, I mean, you know, again, I'm going to commend the Waterfront Wednesdays team because, you know, numbers aside, they know exactly what was driving a little bit more attendance, and they're going to take those learnings and filter them into next year. We absolutely should be doing the same. Metrics as part of that conversation.
Right. I mean, in fairness, you know, and it's not your fault that you were coming in late, but I feel like a lot of people probably would have been happy to see those metrics come in a lot earlier. You know, and certainly as you determine what the highest and best use is, the tourism board, their charter is to make tourism work in Hudson. And I think there's been really a feeling amongst the community that, you know, the board has gone astray. Having those metrics in early would have better guided the project, but I do appreciate that.
The feedback, right? It's all the feedback for next year to make sure that the accountability is in there and that, you know, and that it's a dialogue with the community in that aspect. So absolutely. Any other questions, folks?
Maybe just a clarification that if you're going to requisition some of these properties that John Kane mentioned, that would be for use in Hudson and by residents of Hudson.
Correct. That would be how it would be.
Not, for example, somebody in Troy.
Or anyone.
Yes, Chris, I believe it's a few months ago. I believe that didn't go so well for you, but thank you. I'm aware of where I live.
Okay, but all that said, for any neighboring municipality, no, we try to keep all of those things in Hudson. Are there any other comments or questions this evening, friends? All right. Can I have a motion to adjourn then, please?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Kate. May I please have a second?
I second that.
Second from Chris. All those members of the Tourism Board in favor of adjourning the meeting, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for coming this evening. I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.